You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here today for another great edition of our show. Many thanks to Dr. Matt Johnson and Sven for filling in yesterday because I was not doing anything exciting, was not on the road, was not off doing anything fun. I was dealing with my internet going in and out and having some power problems. We're fixing some of the electric on our property, and it's been storming recently, so that combination together, it just didn't come together, but I'm really excited, as always, to have great folks to be able to fill in. We have an amazing team here at Radio Arian and the Daily Traditionalist, so thank you guys for that. But we're here today to talk about a couple of different things, lots of stuff going on, but I want to kick it over, joined by Sven Longshanks, one of my favorite co-hosts to have, to give us a little bit of an update about how things are going in the UK. So, Sven, first of all, how are you doing? How are things going today? And what is going on across the pond?
Well, yeah, thanks, Matt. I'm doing okay. But perhaps I should mention someone who isn't. Someone who does the images for us occasionally at Radio Arian, Moshe Shekelrod. He seems to have injured himself, and he's having a bit of a run of bad luck at the moment. So I hope he gets well soon. I just thought I'd mention him at the beginning of the podcast today. But over here, the excitement at the moment is all about a big debate that they've just had in the Houses of Parliament, and it's all about Syria and Russia, and a couple of interesting points. They called Russia Nazis for bombing Aleppo, but what are they supposed to do when Aleppo is full of terrorists? How are you supposed to get the terrorists out of that part of Aleppo if you don't bomb them? There's no other way of getting them out.
You give them tickets to go to Germany. That's
well, yeah. What are you supposed to do? But hit them with balloons? You know, dress up as clowns and you know. I mean, I don't know what they think they're doing. It just reminds me of Turkey when they were having a go at Turkey for preventing immigrants from coming into Turkey. And you know, how do they expect people to deal with violent criminals if you don't actually use violence against them yourself? And another interesting point to do with this debate was Boris Johnson, who's now our new foreign secretary, he suggested that the Stop the War coalition go and protest outside the Moscow embassy. And I just thought, well, this is a blatant admission that Stop the War coalition actually work for the government, don't they? And this, we know this about these liberal leftist organizations. They're all actually working for the government. They all get funding from the government, and they all support the government's stance on diversity and multiculturalism and more refugees, and yet they claim to be the alternative. So here you have the foreign secretary of the government that's currently in power suggesting that the Stop the War coalition go and protest against Moscow, when this war was started by Britain, Israel and the EU with their proxy armies, sending them in there to go and attack Bashar al-Assad after sending them in to attack Gaddafi. And this was another point. They were saying that we need to have a no-fly zone over Syria. And then they were bringing up the no-fly zone over Iraq. They conveniently seem to have forgotten what happened after the no-fly zone in Libya, which ended up with a dead president, Gaddafi, who had done more for the Libyan people than any other African that I've ever known of. He did so much for them, and they just had him assassinated and destroyed the country. And the country is now a nest full of terrorists. It's split in half. It's sending forth an army of quote-unquote refugees to cause havoc in Europe, and the country is a failed state. And that's what the end result of their no-fly zone was. So that they're calling for a no-fly zone in Syria, but they're referencing the no-fly zone in Iraq. And what that actually means is shooting down Russian planes. They're literally discussing whether we should be shooting down Russian planes, and they're saying that Russia is in Syria breaking all the international laws, but Russia is the only country that's actually been invited into Syria by the legitimate sovereign government of Syria. Bashar al-Assad has not suggested that Israel come in and start bombing places, or that Britain come in and start bombing places, or America. All they've done is ask Putin to come in there and help them defend their country against an invading hostile army that is in the pay of America, Israel, and the Arab countries. That's the law. The law is if your country is invaded by an army, you fight back against them. And to call them rebels instead of terrorists, the actual definition of terrorism is anyone that uses violence to achieve a political motive. And you can add at the end of that is not the government, because the government have a monopoly on violence. Bashar al-Assad is the legitimate government, and they are quite within the realms of the law to defend their country against these monsters and savages that behead people and throw people off buildings and kill children and all these other dreadful things that we know that ISIS do. And Russia is the only country that's actually had any success in dealing with this. America's done nothing. Britain's done nothing. And at the moment, they're having great success. So, of course, they want to hold these debates in the British Parliament and make a big fuss about this. And nothing's actually come out at the end of it, apart from insults to Russia, calling them Nazis, and suggesting that the Stop the War Coalition go and protest at the Moscow embassy. It's quite ludicrous, but this is the major news at the moment. And it seems to have eclipsed something rather important, which was a white man got stabbed to death by a Negro. And they've actually shown us that the Negro that did the killing, but they're trying to blame that on cannabis. They're saying that it was mental illness that caused this. And his poor wife, who is absolutely distraught, she'd just given birth to his first child. And the man was actually out delivering cards to let people know the great news that he just had his first child. He was a doctor, he was a medical researcher, and this Negro just came up behind him and stabbed him to death. And the Negro had been caught with knives and tried to stab a policeman 6 months before. And he was just let off. They just dropped the charges for some unknown reason. And she's saying, we need to have an inquiry. We need to look into this because there are 70 people that are killed by madmen every year. But how many white people are killed by Negroes every year? How many of those deaths could be avoided if we didn't actually have the Negroes in our country who don't belong here, who don't grow here naturally? They've just swarm here like parasites. And this is the sort of things that they do. So it's been good to actually see the face of the killer and see that he was a black killer. But all of that has now been eclipsed with the news of Syria, of course. And they're showing us all these images of poor children that are being bombed. Well, what are the children being used as human shields for? I mean, it really does sort of quite get me going, Matt. I know it gets you going as well. I know you've got something that you want to say to do with this Syria issue as well, I believe.
Oh, of course. Well, you know, you bring up so many great points there. And what's important for us to understand is how insane the policy of our elites are. And I know when I was watching the debate and Hillary Clinton is talking about, well, we don't want to send U.S. ground troops, but, you know, the idea of a no-fly zone. And you brought up exactly right, the idea of international law. We don't have the right to be there. We don't have a right to enforce a no-fly zone over this country, considering that Russia, that is supporting Bashar al-Assad, is a permanent member of the UN Security Council that, if the US brought that forward, could veto. So under international law or treaty with the nation in question, we have no right to be there whatsoever. Yet here we are going ahead and really threatening World War III. I mean, it's tragic. I hate to be over the top, but I see no other way to be able to talk about this, because an article that's from Russia Today is talking about photos showing U.S. jets being painted Russian colors have triggered debates and conspiracy theories online, with many saying Washington plans to conduct false flag attacks in Syria and blame them on Moscow. The pictures of the U.S. jets were posted by a Canadian journalist last week on his Twitter account. And it goes on for a while. And I do think it's interesting because, you know, I do try and separate the tinfoil hat element. I mean, sometimes people just can't accept that, you know, crazy people do crazy things, or our enemies do evil things. You know, Wahhabis blowing people up, I don't think that's a flag. I think that's their ideology and their war with our civilization, and that is what it is. But anyway, not to get off in the weeds, but, you know, I don't consider myself a conspiracy theorist. I try and look at the evidence in a pretty intense fashion. I know you do the same. But this is very interesting, and it's being reported now not only by RT but by other reputable news agencies, and that does worry me. So you've got right now Hillary Clinton talking about the need for a no-fly zone, basically talking about an air war, and being willing to shoot down Russian planes and things like that. We've got in Britain them talking about essentially the exact same thing, which tells me that they're all reading up the same script. And now we've got these allegations and photos of U.S. jets being painted Russian army colors, and that could be the plan and opening up a space to do it. It's again breaking international law to dress yourself as your opponent or a different country and present yourself as being a member of the military forces of that country is in violation of several treaties and international laws. So I see nothing good coming out of this. So what's your initial knee jerk on the idea of U.S. military jets being painted Russian colors?
Well, I think that's that's a war crime in itself. I mean, when they were saying during World War II that people were dressing up as if they were on the forces of the other side, and that was a war crime. So surely it's a war crime to do the same with aeroplanes. I'm sorry about, we were getting a little bit of break up there with you, Matt, but I think people could actually hear what you were saying, and it cleared up at the end there, so I don't think there's a need for me to call you back. But I think what this highlights with what was being said in the debate is the way that this issue has become polarized, and the difference between Hillary Clinton's rhetoric and Trump's rhetoric. And you've got this British idea that we should be putting in a no-fly zone and maybe shooting down Russian jets. You've got Hillary Clinton wanting to start World War III, insulting Putin personally and saying that that's what we need to do. And then you've got Trump who's saying, well, we need to make peace with Russia. And at the moment, the only people that ISIS are frightened of are Syria, Russia and Iran, who have all got an effective coalition that are actually having success with doing away with these Islamic terrorists, which is the complete opposite of what Hillary Clinton is saying. And it really wouldn't surprise me if they are painting jets in American colours, because it does look like we know false flags go on, and we know that it was false flag activity that actually started this off, Matt. I don't know if you remember, but there were these protests that started in Syria. And while the people were out protesting, there were these mysterious snipers that were shooting at the police, and they were also shooting at the protesters. So the protesters ended up blaming the police, and the police ended up blaming the protesters. And we then saw exactly the same thing happening in the Ukraine. We saw mysterious snipers that were firing at the protesters and also firing at the police. And this is a tried and tested tactic that's been used over time. So we do know that this goes on, and we know that America has been involved in false flag activity. So it really wouldn't surprise me if that's what they were doing with these aeroplanes. Obviously, I'm very surprised that we're actually being told about it. And I should imagine there'll be a bit of damage control, and maybe they'll say that was just the undercoat that they were using on the plane, something like that. And I mean, Israel have been really bold with just going into Syria and attacking places in Syria without really giving any reason. And they don't see any need to cover that up. So if America did want to go in there, I think America would just go in there and start bombing places. But I think with the way that the world is now, there really wouldn't be that much support for it. So perhaps, you know, that's what they're thinking. Well, maybe we should paint the planes like they're Russian ones and then drop a few bombs. But then you've also got the situation of, I think each airplane is likely to give off a different signal for when you're tracking it by radar or by satellite. So it'd probably have to be a little bit more clever than just painting the airplane with different colours now. They'd probably have to add a few other ways to actually disguise the fact that it was America than just painting it. That does seem a little bit simple to me. But why would it be exposed like this? This is another question that you could have, is why is this being put out? You know, you just don't know. I'd like to know more about the story anyway, really, Matt, before making proper comment on it.
Yeah, well, and you actually bring up a very interesting thing right there, because it could be. I mean, you want to talk about the the multi-level chess that everyone is playing, that it could be the United States even just having a news story get leaked, and then everyone focuses on that, and who knows what's going on. I mean, it's just like the Trump tape that came out last Friday, coming out the exact same time, within hours of these WikiLeaks releases, where Hillary Clinton says you have to have a public persona, you have to have private views that can be completely contradictory. Everything coming out about how she actually actively wants the North American Union. She wants to break apart national borders and any sort of independence that Canada, the United States, and Mexico have, and bring them together. And these are in her speeches. These are in her level of commitment to the global oligarchs, to the Jewish power base, to Wall Street. It is absolutely right there, but we're all talking about something, some locker room talk that Donald Trump had. So you have to think that stories can be used to confuse, and they're not necessarily lies. I mean, hell, they probably did paint the planes, but is it where they plan to do something? Or you bring up a good point. Is this a discussion point to discuss when one of America's allies is going to do something in the Middle East? They're going to use this for future plans, and we need to understand that our enemies have no desire to hold to the truth. They've always been liars. The Jews have always been deceivers. They've always, and Dr. Goebbels said in one of his speeches that the Jews are not more intelligent than we are. They're just more clever, and not clever in the intelligent way, just in terms of they always try and use subterfuge. They're always trying to sneak around. They're always trying to get an angle. So we do have to look at things like this. And I think in our movement, it's very important, as Sven, you bring up a really good point, to be able to kind of stand back a little bit and see where this is going, what the implications are, and maybe what's under the surface a little bit, because it's really easy for them to lay out bait for us. I remember reading a story of British soldiers who went to Australia, and they left out poisoned meat outside of an Aboriginal camp, and some of them came, ate it, and died. And they were in some sort of conflict with the Abos, and then they laid out meat the next day. And Abbos came and took it and ate it and died, and so on and so forth, till basically all the male Aboriginal warriors that were out hunting had eaten the poison meat and died. So we do have to make sure when it comes to the news, especially us as we're reporting the news on a daily basis, we're here live 5 days a week to be able to give people insight. We need to make sure we're not being Abbos. We're not falling for the poisoned meat of the easiest part of the story. We always have to be searching for the truth, and that's our job, is to be here and tell the truth. Bit of a side note, but I wanted to do this before I forgot. I just read about this. It happened about a month ago. But Johnny Rebel, the American singer,
Oh, yeah.
apparently passed at the age of
Oh.
77 last month. And I've seen that on a couple of different websites that aren't necessarily white nationalists, but it has been reported, and his Wikipedia has been updated. So it looks like that after a very long life of really holding true to his principles, and everyone pretty much knows his music during the 1960s, standing up against forced federal integration, standing against Martin Luther King and his agenda of pushing the same sort of thing we see with Black Lives Matter. I mean, if we lose the fight we have against the forces of George Soros today, then the history books are going to say that Black Lives Matter was like we say about Martin Luther King now. Everyone forgets in the 1960s that there was the Jewish media and the Jewish money going ahead and building them up, but they were doing riots, there were fights, there were disturbances, riots all across this country, from Watts all the way in California, all the way through the South, and all the way up to Newark, Delaware, or Newark, New Jersey, and places that are in Delaware. And in New York and other places, Baltimore, of course, had horrific riots. They had the National Guard on the street for weeks at a time. So, Johnny Rebel was a guy that he was definitely one of the first politically incorrect singers. And he was out there standing up against it, and he was harassed and had his life threatened, all sorts of stuff. And, he grew up, he was a family man, had kids, grandkids, and he never back down from his beliefs. So I just want to take a quick moment, and Sven, I'd love to hear your thoughts, because I know you're in the UK. When I was in Germany, actually, I got asked about Johnny Rebel. So I know in Europe, his music made it across the pond as well. On your thoughts on that, and then maybe also we could kind of take that into the Black Lives Matter thing, where guys like Johnny Rebel were opposing bait. Literally, it's the same script, and this goes into the Jews we're talking about in Syria. It's the same thing they're pushing with the warmongering. They're pushing the civil disturbances. that Black Lives Matter is the modern incarnation of the so-called civil rights movement. And the blacks say that in a proud way. And we say it as we're looking at dead cops, as we're looking at burned down buildings, as we're looking at riots in our streets. So seeing a man that never repented, never recanted, so many politicians backed down, you know, guys like Robert Byrd from West Virginia, you know, former Klansman repented. Then he was a lapdog of Hillary Clinton for many decades. But he never backed down. And so he died, apparently surrounded by his family, and a memory eternal to him. But I want to kind of know your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, I would suggest everyone raise a toast to Johnny Rebel tonight. And if you haven't actually checked out his music before, do check it out. I mean, it's very funny more than anything else. It's very well made. It's also very funny. It's very,
the musical
very truthful.
Daily Stormer.
Yeah, yeah, I was doing Daily Stormer stuff, you know, 30, 40 years before the Daily Stormer came about. Definitely good music. Look, one of the points that you raised there, Matt, about this, about the propaganda and about the media and taking a step back and whether we believe it or not, I think one of the more important than that even is looking at the media and thinking, how can we turn it to our advantage? Sometimes people will say, well, why do you believe that? Well, why are you talking about that? That's obviously not true. Or there's questions about that. That was all crisis actors or whatever. But if you're talking about that sort of thing, people are, it's not going to bring people to the pro-white cause, is it? But if you're pointing out that Muslims do kill white people, and regardless of the fact that whether it might be crisis actors or not, it's a good news story that we can use to turn to our advantage. So more than looking into it and thinking, you know, is this really truthful or not? I think we should be looking at it as in, how can we turn this to our advantage? How can we use what the government are telling us through their mouthpiece, which is, you know, over here it's the BBC, Russia Today, Sky TV, and all those news stories come from two news companies that escape my mind at the moment, but they all come from two news companies, and that's what everybody uses. So if they're being deceitful right at the start, then there's no real way to sort of tell. So that's what we've got. That's what we can use. That's all we have to use. So we need to use it to promote the pro-white message, not so much to analyze it and say, well, are these actors there? Are these crisis actors? Is this really telling us the truth? I mean, we need to look at it. If it's white people that are being attacked by blacks, then that's the angle that we need to go with. And that's the same with this Black Lives Matter crowd. And they keep saying that black lives are the ones that matter. But just by saying that, they're inferring that other people's lives don't matter. White people's lives don't matter. They're saying that the policeman's lies don't matter. They're saying that they don't trust the court system. They don't trust the outcome of the courts. They don't trust the witnesses. This is what they're saying when the outcome of the court case tells us that the Negro was a criminal and he was reaching for the policeman's gun, or the Negro actually had a gun on him. And they show you all the proof of that. And yet the blacks are still saying, hands up, don't shoot. As if that lie that we were told was actually the truth. Even though in a court of law it's been found to be false, they will still promote that. So these are the sort of things that we want to be pointing out to people. And when they have their Black Lives Matter demonstrations and white people end up being attacked for being white, again, that's something that we need to be promoting. We need to be honing in on. And this sort of thing, when the media covers us, they will always pick on things and exaggerate them and make them sound far worse than they actually are, as far as nationalists are concerned. And we need to do the same thing to them with their media, where we're very limited in the actual journalism that we can produce for ourselves. We're sort of stuck with what they actually give us and analyzing what they give us and using what they give us to promote our cause, because we don't have our own television stations yet. We don't have radio that actually goes out on FM yet. You know, we have to use the internet radio. We have to use citizen journalism as it is. So we are limited in what we can do. We just get what they give to us, basically, and then we have to turn that around to our advantage. But we can turn it around to our advantage, and that's what the Daily Stormer does. I mean, it's all news stories that come from these two news agencies, and that's what we discuss here, Matt. And I think we do quite well at turning it around to our own advantage, and a lot of that is digging it out where that news is, because obviously it's not not when you hear about white people being attacked by blacks, that's not going to be on the national news. That's going to be on the local news, and where we have our networks of listeners and readers and the traditionalist youth network, people send in these news stories. I mean, I get lots of news stories every day that are sent into stormersubs@hushmail.com, which, you know, keep me up to date on these sort of happenings that are happening at a local level rather than at the national level. And then we can cover them here at Radio Aryan or at the Daily Stormer, and then our worldwide listenership can learn about them. You know, that's the way
exactly.
That it goes.
I mean, that's what it has to be. We have to be able to, you know, we've got a responsibility, not to go all Walter Cronkite for a second, but we have a responsibility to be able to get the truth out there to our people, and then to be able to motivate, you know, people that are maybe finding this for the first time. Maybe one of their family members was a victim of interracial crime. Maybe they were actively discriminated against in a hiring process. Maybe they see the Jewish policies that are affecting Main Street, affecting their communities. We need to be there to be able to tell them what's happening, to be able to put it in perspective for them, and to be able to be that voice of truth. We're the only voice of sanity in the media, because the media is controlled, you know, all these conglomerates, by Jewish power. So to be able to fight for our people, we have to be looking at every news story, what we can be able to get out to be able to raise awareness about our folk, embolden our folk, and to be able to help our movement bring it forward. And that's why I think our work is so important, Sven, especially the work that you do. I mean, you do so much work, not just on this show, but with all of Radio Aryan for the Daily Stormer and so many comrades. Comrade Engelin, of course, of the Daily Stormer, Eric Stryker, you know, all the great authors and all the other folks here, whether it's Fascist Lemming or all the other hosts. All of us have such an important role. And it's amazing to see as we're developing our own media. We don't need to rely on the system anymore. We can go ahead and get this message out there to people, and everything we're doing, winning the culture war. It's a very exciting time. As we're coming to the end, I just really quickly want to know your thoughts, because this actually goes back to the UK. What is going on with the fact that internet trolls now in the UK look like they could be facing increased prosecution? Just quick question. Do you think this is directly related to what we've been doing in the alt-right, the white nationalist community, and what we see with the Daily Stormer? Because we're in the culture war, and now they're trying to make it illegal, the tactics we've been using to get our message out there and challenge the enemy in a way they've never been challenged before. I just want to know your thoughts as we close out today.
Well, yeah, of course it's to do with that. It's all the same people that have been involved, people like Luciana Berger and that John Mann and the rest of them. They've been calling for prosecutions of people for mean words on the internet for quite some time now. I'm not so sure it will really affect us that much. I mean, a lot of the time we rely on our American brothers to criticize the British politicians and the people that need criticizing. I don't do it myself, because I think my contribution to the cause is through the radio here. You need to tailor what you do to your situation. I think if you're in America, then please do use Twitter to attack the anti-white traitors that we have over here in Britain and in Europe. And if you're in Britain, then a good idea is to sort out hangouts and sort out media, if that's the sort of thing you can do. And this actually brings up something that I wanted to mention. At the weekend, we're going to be simulcasting a Forum Anglorum hangout, which is going to have Millennial Woes on it, the Duke of Durham, Project England Rising, all people that we feature here in the Radio Aryan bootleg section every day. But we're going to be simulcasting them. I think it's going to be on at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. British Time. It'll probably go on for 3 hours, and that will be live on the Saturday. And that's coming out from Britain. But how can that offend anyone? I mean, that's just people talking amongst themselves and broadcasting it. I mean, it's not like they're sending that to these MPs or inviting the MPs to listen to it. I mean, if anybody listens to it who's likely to be offended, then they are deliberately going out of their way to be offended, aren't they? I mean, we have a disclaimer at the Radio Aryan site that says anyone that feels inspired to hatred of races or religions has misunderstood our intentions. And that's quite true, because our intentions are to encourage our own people to love their race and to do what they can for their race. We're not trying to encourage people to hate other races. We're trying to encourage people to love their own race and do what they can for their own race. And so I think if, as long as you can get that clear to people, there are ways around this law. I mean, Radio Erin will keep playing because we're not going out of our way to offend people. We're talking to people that think like us already. We're just having a conversation and talking about things. And Britain itself is supposed to be a beacon of free speech anyway. That's where the idea first came from. So I think so long as you're not actually deliberately attacking these people, I think you'll be quite safe. Leave that to those that live in the countries that have better free speech laws like yourself, Matt.
Exactly. Well, it's not just the alliance between nationalists here in the United States or those just in Europe helping one another in their own countries. We're all in this fight together. We're all fighting the same enemies. And we use all of our skills and our abilities to be able to advocate for our people and to fight our common foe and be able to build a better future for the European people wherever we live, on whatever continent or country you reside in. We're fighting for the future of the European folk. So, Sven, thank you so much for being here as always. Thank you so much to my listeners. I'm going to look forward to being back here tomorrow with another edition of The Daily Traditionalist. And I hope everyone has a great and wonderful day. Hail victory!
Be tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.